Hello, I'm Ronnie Floyd, Senior Pastor of Cross Church. Thank you for tuning in today. Cross Church is a faith family that is passionate about sharing the love of Christ with the people of Northwest Arkansas, Southwest Missouri, America, and even the world. I thank you again for tuning in today. And please know that the entire Cross Church congregation and I invite you to join us in person at one of our 5 regional campuses. Come and be a part of our friendly, compassionate faith family. Go to crosschurch.com to learn more information about our fellowship of believers.
Last Sunday afternoon, I received an email from the country of Haiti, and I want to give attention to this for a moment because it gives us a tremendous illustration that is worthy of commendation. I received the email from Katie Bean. Katie and Jeremy are members of our church that serve in the country of Haiti. They tuned in to the message last Sunday along with their friend Philippe, and she testified through the email about the stirring effect that the message had upon their friend Philippe. Philippe is the general manager of the One Egg Farm in Haiti that her husband Jeremy has helped build and manage for Tyson. You see, Philippe was in a horrible vehicle accident that caused him to go into a coma for several weeks. Miraculously, he survived the crash, and miraculously, he is now recovering in their home. And after 3 months of recovering, just past week, he saw the pictures of the horrible wreckage and wondering and asking himself the question, why did this happen to his life? And now that he's walking through the challenges of that, why in the world would the Lord let him go through this? But when they listened into our live broadcast, the Lord spoke to Philippe's heart. In fact, Katie writes that as he flipped through the pages of Scripture with his weak fingers last week, he found the text that I was reading, and the Lord reminded Philippe personally that God was faithful and perhaps one day would reveal to him why he is walking through this challenging time in his life. Now, Katie wrote the email for this reason. She wanted to encourage me that another man in another country, from another culture, who was walking through difficult suffering, that God had used the message in his life. It reminds me today of something that all of us need to remember, that it doesn't matter who you are, what your nationality, your ethnicity, or country, or culture may be in your life, God uses all things to make us more like His Son, Jesus Christ. And just like I stated to you last week, that the will of God is a journey we go on. It is an experience that we go through. It is a process of life that we walk through and experience. Therefore, it is much more than a destination, or much more than a location, or much more than even a vocation, which is all important. But it's so much more than that. And that's why we have carefully chosen even the title of the message that we spoke last week. We used the same title today because I want to go to another part of this subject about how to navigate through the will of God in your life. Not to the will of God. It's greater than a location, greater than a destination, greater than a vocation, but navigating through the will of God in your life. Last week, we talked about a couple of things that I want to just note briefly. The first we talked about was the mystery of God. The mystery of God and God's will. Remember, God is sovereign and God is incomprehensible. He operates in ways that are past what we're able to think, past what we're able to feel, past what we were able to even see or hear or comprehend. And maybe one day on the other side, called heaven, God may choose to reveal to us certain matters about life while we lived on this earth, if indeed He desires. God's will is mysterious. But there's also something else we talked about, and that is the secret to God's will. And we shared in the message that the secret to God's will and knowing God's will is being willing to do God's will. We believe that Jesus taught that when you're willing to do God's will, you will know God's will. And even before we know God's will, we need to be willing to say two words at the same time, even before we know the question God is asking us. And what are those words? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Because contrary to that would be no, Lord. But if He's truly Lord, you can't say no to Him. The answer is always yes, Lord. So understanding those matters today as much as we can intellectually and experientially, I do believe it is incumbent upon me today just to simply read through the verses without any commentary at all that I taught through in detail last week. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. You remember what God said? For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. This is the Lord's declaration. For as heaven is higher than earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And then the scripture teaches us this over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no human heart has conceived, God has prepared these things for those who love Him. In John 7, verse 16 and 17, Jesus answered the Jews in the conversation, and He said, my teaching isn't mine, but is from the one who sent me. And listen to the secret. If anyone wants to do His will, he will what? Know whether His teaching is from God or whether I'm speaking on my own. Therefore, knowing and understanding as much as humanly possible, we know that God's will is mysterious. God is incomprehensible. He is sovereign. We cannot understand all that goes on. And we know that God's will is a mystery. And we know that God's will has a secret, and that is willing to do His will. But there's so much more. And that's why today I want to enter into a couple of areas of journeying as we navigate through the will of God to talk with you about these things. The first is what I want to identify as the keys to navigating through the will of God. The keys to navigating through the will of God. Now, keys, you have them for your car because you have the authority to drive your car. Whether it's a building that you are unlocking or your own home, the keys indicate authority and ownership. And it doesn't matter whether you take them and turn them or you scan them. What you have to understand is the keys give you the privilege of going places you could not otherwise go in your life. And when you go there, you discover things you would never discover otherwise in your life. That's what I'm giving you today about the will of God. These are keys, and if you will scan them, you will turn them, they will help you as you navigate through the will of God in your life. I'm going to ask them in the form of questions. And the question, first of all and above all, is this question. Did God initiate this? Let's say that you're out here in the midst of a decision, or you are confronted with a decision later in your life. Here's the question you need to always ask. Did God initiate this? Now, I want to be more than clear today. It is easy for any of us to manipulate our circumstances. It is easy for any of us to deceive our own selves into thinking God's will is taking place when in reality God's will is not taking place. Additionally, a friend or a family member can easily manipulate the situation. They can manipulate your feelings. And all of this can be very dangerous as you navigate through the will of God in your life. That's why you had better make sure God is the one initiating. Therefore, you have to ask yourself, is God initiating this? Now, many of you today who are here may recall the name Henry Blackaby. Henry Blackaby had a powerful study years ago, no telling how many hundreds of thousands, and I'm sure it's into the way millions today across the world that have gone through that study. And even though it is an older study today, I would encourage you that if you've never been through it, it is more than worthy to walk through. It's called Experiencing God, Knowing and Doing the Will of God. But Blackaby taught us in that study something very powerful that I want to mention here today. Blackaby said, if you want to know and do the will of God, here's the key. You've got to know what God is doing, and then go join God in what He is doing. To know what God is doing, and then go join Him in what He is doing. This reminds me of a story over in John chapter 5, which was earlier than the one we read about in John 7. And I want you to look with me today to the scripture into John 5 for a moment. John 5, in a moment I'm going to read a couple of verses. But let me tell you, Jesus is telling the Jews something here that we really need to grasp in our lives. Jesus was telling the Jews something that absolutely stunned them. Because He said, I don't do anything I do unless I see the Father doing it first. Read with me John 5, verse 19 and verse 20. Jesus replied, truly I tell you, the Son is not able to do anything on His own, but only what He sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son likewise does these things. For the Father loves the Son and shows Him everything He is doing, and He will show Him greater works than these, so that you will be amazed. So Jesus told them, whatever the Father does, I do. Whatever the Father says, I say. And then Jesus tells them that when the Father reveals His will, and He does it, that the Father is going to let Jesus do greater things, and then later says, there are greater things even still yet to come. So if you want the greater things in your life, relating to the will of God, the greater things relating to His will. You discover those in finding out what God is doing and asking yourself, is God initiating this in my life? When you are navigating through the will of God, I want to remind you again, it's more than a location, it's more than a vocation, and more than a destination. Not minimizing it, but it's more. Therefore, here's the challenge, and it's real. You have to adjust your life and plans to what God is doing. You have to adjust your life and God's plans to what God is doing. Now, when God has you on the journey of navigating through the will of God, there is a reality that does happen. God might mention a new vocation for you, or a new location for you, or a change in your geography or your destination, or something interrupts your life, like a disease, a tragedy, a bankruptcy, a loss of job, a detour, if you may, a rut in the ground that's pretty deep that can sink you, or a mountain you have to climb over in your life that is far bigger than any mountain you have ever scaled the heights before. Well, in all of that, there is a season, and sometime it's for the rest of your life, you have to adjust your life and your plans to what God is doing. And if God is initiating, who are we not to adjust our lives to the plan of God? Question number two to ask yourself, is it God's timing? Is it God's timing? Now, if God is truly doing something and initiating something in your life, then obviously something's going on. I believe God takes you up to the time and the moment where you have to really wrestle with the timing issue. And the time may not be right where you walk away. And that's understandable because the time is not always right. But if it's God's timing, it's always right. And God may want to initiate something just to check you out, just to see what's in you, like I talked last week. Because what's in you will come out of you. And so in all of that, you've got to navigate, is this God's timing in my life? I want you to listen to something I want you to write down if you're taking notes today. God's timetable is more important than ours. I'm going to remind everybody of something this morning. God is greater, we are lesser. God is sovereign, we are not. God is God, I am not. And neither are you. We are the lesser following the greater. This is not about God adjusting to my life, to my plans, to what I want. Sometimes we pray like we want God to adjust to us. But the power of prayer is not in asking God to adjust to us. The power of prayer is us having such a heart that we're willing to adjust to God. And prayer is what moves the heart to God, and that's why we should call out to God in prayer. So God's timetable is more important than ours. And when making decisions, I'm telling you, do not underestimate the power of God's timing. There is nothing greater than God's timing. I want to remind you of that. Through just a few verses, I want to read three specifically. In the third chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 1 says, there is an occasion for everything and a time for every activity under heaven. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, He, God, has made everything appropriate in its time. He has also put eternity in their hearts, but no one can discover the work God has done from beginning to end. Chapter 3, verse 14 of Ecclesiastes. I know that everything God does will last forever, and there is no adding to it or taking from it. God works so that people will be in awe of Him. God works so that people will be in awe of Him. God's timetable is more important than my timetable. When I read the book of Ecclesiastes, I'm reminded of something that I heard years ago, and I've never forgotten it, and I want to give to you this in what I'm calling a worthy reminder. God is never too early. God is never too late. God is always on time. God is never too early. God is never too late. God is always on time. Powerful words. Needed words. We don't have to worry about God. God's got a time for everything, he says in the scripture. I said this earlier today, and I'll say it to you. God is not ruled by this right here called a watch. God doesn't operate near as much by what is the Greek word chronos, which is what we would use as this right here. It is 11:21. All right? It's not ruled by that. He's ruled by what is called kairos in the Greek language, which is seasons, moments that are far greater than what human beings would use in relationship to, I got to have it by this date or this time tomorrow. God's timetable is more important than ours. Question three is, am I willing to submit to God's will? Am I willing to submit to God's will? Remember the questions? Did God initiate this? Is it God's timing? Am I willing to submit to God's will? Oh, listen, that question is one that will haunt you if you're not willing to submit to the will of God. Remember, you cannot know what God wants you to do until you are willing to surrender to what God wants you to do, and you have to surrender before you ever know. Wow, that's what we call faith, is it not? Three key words there. You find it: initiate, timing, and submit. Surrender, submission, call it what you want. That's what it is. I'm reminded of the powerful verse over in the book of Proverbs that many of you would know by memory, but I read it today to remind you. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, know Him, and He will make your paths straight. The three keys, what do? They open the door into you navigating the will of God. And I want to make it real clear. We always don't make the right decisions. I said this last week. I'll say it again. We're not perfect. Now, hopefully it's not a decision that really gets you in a mess, like a bad financial choice or marrying a person that is 180 degrees opposite of your faith, belief, or whatever it may be. That's just not good and proper. And sometimes there are decisions that literally impact our lives, not only for a little bit, but forever. So we need to be careful. But thank God, all decisions are like that. Most decisions are right here. The answers are right here. That's why what I said last week is so great, not because I said it, but because God says it in His Word. Psalm 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's what it is. And what we have to know, we do not always know the end from the beginning. And that's why we call it faith. Walking by faith. Navigating through the will of God. But then, how do you know you're in the will of God? How do you know you're living in the will of God? We call it the affirmations of living in the will of God. And this is our final note today, and I want you to really grab it with me today. The affirmations, you are living in God's will. Years ago, the Lord showed me a passage in the scripture that has been so used, not only in my life, but as I've worked with people and counseled people along the way of their life, these verses have so helped in determining what is right and what is wrong. They're found over in the book of James in the 3rd chapter. And so I want you to look with me to James chapter 3 today. In James chapter 3, in a moment, what I'm going to do is that I'm going to show you, and I'm not going to take time to exposit this text. We don't have the time to do it, but it's a powerful text. But you'll see what God does here. God gives you things that show His wisdom, and then God gives you things that show the wisdom of the world, earthly wisdom, fleshly wisdom. And so if you're ever in a decision time, it's a good thing to do. Just write those down. Go to James 3, 13 through 18, and write down what God says are His wisdom and what God says is not His wisdom. Let's read this passage. James 3, verse 13. Look at it with me. Who among you is wise and understanding? By his good conduct, he should know that his works are done in the gentleness that comes from wisdom. Now, here's where the alert guard's going off, right here. Verse 14. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, don't boast and deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. That's pretty clear. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, listen to this, there is disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom from above, notice what he's about to tell us. Here's the insight. The wisdom from above is first pure, and then peace-loving, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits. And notice that next word. Boy, you need to circle that word. That's a big time word when you're looking at the will of God. Unwavering. Without pretense. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who cultivate peace. When you are living in God's will, God gives you some affirmations along the way to remind you of what He has you doing, if indeed He has you doing it. And there are 3 affirmations that I believe that I want to just illustrate for a moment that will help us before we leave the house of God today. Here's the first affirmation. I call it continual confidence. There is a continual confidence when you know you are living in the will of God. Continual confidence. Due to God working in you and through you, you do enter moments of when you are experiencing God's continual confidence of where you need to be in your life and what you need to be doing. Doesn't matter whether it's as elementary as the car you purchased or the home you would like to purchase or a decision about a new job or somewhere else you want to live or where you want to go. Here's what you need to remember. Proverbs 16:33 says, every decision is from the Lord. The Lord wants to give you heart and rule in your decision making. But it is the peace of God about your decision that should fill your heart if it's of God. And that peace of God should be so strong that the scripture says over in Philippians 4 that that peace of God rules in your heart. That means the peace of God is like an umpire, is the word picture. You know what an umpire is? It's those people in striped uniforms you yell at on a Saturday afternoon college football game. And those umpires rule things in or out, right or wrong, out of bounds, in bounds. Are you with me? That peace of God, when you're living in the will of God, boy, I tell you what, it rules you. It's dominating you. You just feel it. That doesn't mean it's easy. Don't get the wrong idea today. Doing the will of God is not always easy. And sometime when you do God's will, there's warfare. There usually is, by the way. And challenges and mountains you have to scale, valleys you have to go through. It's not always rosy and wonderful and sweet and kind and little songs that we sing. They're not always that easy. But there's one thing that dominates your heart, and that's the peace of God. No matter how bad it gets, how much the hounds of hell are coming at you, when you're in the midst of it, you know God led you to do it, and you know from His Word it's right, and God has given you peace, even though all hell may be breaking loose around you. Amen. You say, wow, that's not very encouraging. Well, it should be. Romans 8:31 says, if God is for us, who could be against us? You're not in this battle alone. Let the peace of God rule your heart. It's the peace of God that gives you continual confidence, even if it gets tough in the journey. But if the peace of God does not come, and the peace of God all of a sudden might rule it wrong, you may have made a wrong decision too, and I get that. Because we don't always make right decisions, not any of us. And again, prayerfully, it's not one of those big-time decisions that, you know, we just can't say, wow, okay, now what do I do? Secondly is continual direction. Proverbs 16:9 says, a person's heart plans his way, but the Lord determines his steps. Proverbs 20, verse 24 says, even a courageous person's steps are determined by the Lord. So how can anyone understand his own way? You know what? Once we accept the will of God in our lives, we can live with continual confidence in His will. And then, through the source of His Word, as we live in that, it's day by day, it's step by step, it's scripture by scripture, it's God's guiding light that is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God is involved in every step with you. And He just shows you His direction along the way. I said this a moment ago, I say it again. God does not send you an email and tell you, now this is about to happen to you, and you need to get ready for it. And God always doesn't say to you, go right, young man, go right. It's called faith. And it's every step in the Word, trying to be what God wants you to be, all along the journey. Well, that's what it's about. So I have to work through that, and I go through what we call a continual confidence and a continual direction that God guides me through. But there's a third affirmation that we look for, and that is continual blessings. Continual blessings. Blessings would be grace. Blessings would be favor. Bless is such a powerful word. Bless. Doesn't it make you feel good to say, bless? We all want to be blessed by others, blessed by words, blessed by God. 3 weeks ago, when I was reading through the book of Deuteronomy, I was reminded of the blessing of the Lord over in the 28th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. I just illustrate it briefly through one verse, and it's verse number 2. Look at it on the screen with me today. All these blessings will come and overtake you because you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed. 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 Now, not because you deserve it necessarily, but blessed because you've obeyed what God has said to you. And when you choose God's way and you choose God's will, you can be assured God will bless you. But don't get the wrong idea. That doesn't mean that there will not be difficulty in the journey. That doesn't mean that you will not battle with the enemy and the hounds of hell will come yapping at you. They will. But it's okay. God's got you. And you know it. And sometime that doesn't ever come. But when it does, it shouldn't be so intimidating to us that we automatically think we're in the wrong place. Doing God's will is never easy. But when you do it, God will take care of you.